brought to you by the Every Dollar app. Start budgeting for free today.
My question is, how should I feel about a prenup? I know your stance on prenups, and I know kind of, extreme circumstances. And I believe kind of like my circumstance is kind of extreme on both ends. So a little bit about my background. I am currently 28. I followed the baby steps through and through, currently on 3B. I make about $300,000 a year. And that's divided up into about $100,000 in retirement, $100,000 for a down payment, and, you know, $25,000 to $35,000 in just a bank account, checking account for an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. So my question, so I'm getting married in June to my wonderful fiance. And her family is extremely wealthy. And although I do not, and her parents and grandparents are extremely wealthy. So, they are apparently, I'm supposed to be signing a prenup, obviously before the marriage, and kind of, we're going to go over that. And my question to you is, how should I feel about that, as well as, what to look for in a prenup? Like, what, I don't necessarily know what questions to ask my lawyer. And just one last thing is, my income could be going from, to 400, 500 plus over the next 2 to 3 years, annually. So yeah, that would be my question.
Yeah. Wow. How old is your fiance?
I am 28. She is 25.
Does she have any money?
No.
And it's you didn't ask her for a prenup.
I have not.
So
no.
The prenup was for the potential inheritance.
The prenup is for the potential inheritance. Okay. I have not had a sit down discussion.
When did the prenup discussion come up? After you were engaged?
It was after we were engaged.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. But I kind of had an idea. Like, I mean, I don't know the specifics on their net worth, but they are extremely, extremely wealthy.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. The only way I know how to answer a question is, what would I do if I woke up in your shoes? Okay. When my children were married, my net worth was in excess of $100 million already at that point, and none of them signed a prenup. And we didn't. Okay. And we didn't ask them to. None of my in-laws signed a prenup, and we didn't ask them to. Now, I have my estate plan set up to where certain things are controlled only by Ramsey blood and trusts, so you can't get to them in the event of a divorce. Thing number one. Thing number two, I just not that guy, so I'm not worried about it. This is God's money. I'm managing it. I figure he can take care of it. I understand their concern. If you were, if you're making $30,000 a year or something, it would be more of a concern. But it's, frankly, it's a little bothersome. If I'm in your shoes, and not enough to cancel the whole thing, but it's troubling that these people, obviously, they want to protect what they built and make sure it goes to their kids. Let me ask you, here's another thing I would want to find out, and I don't know. In most states, the divorce stuff we've been involved in on the financial side, an amount of inheritance generally in the event of a divorce goes to the person that inherited the money. They don't split it in most states. So if you inherit your mama's house and you get a divorce, you get your mama's house. You don't split it with your ex in most
right.
states. Okay. Now, I don't know Missouri law, and I'm not a lawyer, but I've experienced that in, being called in the middle of divorce situations where we're helping negotiate and all that. I've experienced that to be the facts that the judge or the statutes award that way. So I would learn about that in Missouri. Number one, they may have that protection built into the law is what I'm saying. And then you've just got to decide how much you care about this issue. Because I don't think, and what this issue means, what does it mean to your relationship? What does it mean to the family you are marrying? Cause you're marrying her and her family. And so, it's really low class that this came up after you made a contract to get married. they bring up, oh, but by the way, after you've gotten a contract to get married called getting engaged, we're going to add something to the terms of the contract after you've already signed it. That's low class.
I'm curious, Josh, what does your fiance think? How does she feel about this? Is she completely in line with their parents, or does it make her feel weird? What's going on here?
To be honest, I mean, she's the oldest of four daughters total, and they're awesome family, super down to earth people, but they've never really had to work or, you know.
You're not answering my question. And you're being really nice because you're a classy dude. I'm going somewhere with this. How does she feel about it? When it came up, what was her comment on this deal?
She understands. She understands it. I mean, what I was getting at is she just doesn't really have, like, she doesn't know.
So she's okay with it. My point is, it wasn't a head tilt or a red flag or yellow flag. It was just like, oh, okay. Is that what I'm hearing?
She does what she's told.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
That helps.
She listens to her parents. Yeah. She listens to her
parents. Well, that makes this relationally a little bit more difficult. You know, had she had the same feeling, the yucky feeling you had, I assume you have a yucky feeling about it. Is that, or am I making the wrong assumption?
Well, I just like go back to what you guys feel about prenups, and it is an extreme situation, but like, I don't, you know,
it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. Like, do I need to do anything on my end?
What else is going to come up after you're married that they tell her what to do?
Well, the one other thing was exactly. Yeah. The one other thing is apparently so the family are in development. So they're big into real estate and they build houses and have a lot of land. Another thing is apparently they're going to be building us a house and putting it in a trust to where we don't have a payment.
Apparently.
And
this has all been decided.
Apparently. Wait a minute. This is my freaking house. There's no apparently.
Yeah.
I'm involved in the decision.
I think this ought to be premarital counseling. Yeah. I bring it up with your fiance.
I'm shooting up flares now. I think the two of you need to sit down with a premarriage counseling, and you're getting married in June.
Ugh.
This is this family has problems with leaving and cleaving.
Yeah, that's right.
Ken, I know this about me. I really like to be in control.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I know this about me. And I know this about wealth.
Yeah.
That as you add wealth, it makes you more of what you already are. And so having some money has given me the ability to control a lot of things in my life.
Yeah.
The variables. I don't have cars that break down anymore because they're nice ones.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drive crap when I was broke. And I was broke down on the side of the crappy road in the crappy car and my crappy life. And I hated it. I hated it because I felt out of control and desperate and freaked out. And so now I drive cars that don't break because I got some money by doing the stuff we teach here. And I also know that that control, in that sense, controlling the variables, control the controllables, that's a good feature. But I'm also well aware that it can be a bad feature.
Yep.
You've probably seen that.
I cannot recall.
Oh, ho.
I cannot recall.
You are so full of crap.
Well, that's also a great demonstration of what you do in that situation. Yeah, just go Congress.
Just
act like a congressman.
Yeah,
I cannot recall.
Do nothing.
Yeah, no. No. And also, yes. But in a situation like that where we've seen it, you snap back because you are healthy.
Well,
what
I had to face, the hardest parenting I've ever done in my life.
Oof.
The hard, because when they're little, you just freaking tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do what I say to do, I'll take you out and make another one look just like you. Okay, so you're going to do what I say to do. I'm in charge. The inmates are not in charge of the asylum. When they're like grown and paying their own bills and stuff, you don't get to do that anymore, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a rumor. So like when they leave and get married and stuff, it's a problem for control people.
Right.
And control people with money like me?
Sure.
It's a real problem. So I've had to read like Henry Cloud's book, Boundaries. It's like every weekend I have to read the whole book again.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I invade my grown children's boundaries because I have the money to control and tell people what to do. And I'm used to people doing what I tell them to do. And my grown kids don't always do what I tell them to do.
Yeah.
It's just shocking. It's just shocking. It's called, reasonable relationships. And sometimes when people get money, maybe the last caller situation, sometimes when people get money, it makes them more of what they already are. And they learn to control the variables. That's how they get money, which is good.
That's right.
It's a good part of control. But then you try to control your kids' lives. And we're going to give you a house, but we're really not going to give you a house. We're going to put it in a trust so we can take it back if we change our mind. And we're going to give you some money, but we're really not going to count the fact that you got married, because you don't really get to count that. You just are you. And, you know, we're going to, you could real simply in any state leave the money into a trust. And the only people who have access to the trust are blood relatives. And so the spouse or soon to be ex-spouse, if there's a problem, you have a built-in.
Yeah, that's wise.
You, you have a built-in thing there, like the stock for the Ramsey Solutions Company. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
It's held in the Ramsey Family Children's Trust.
Right.
And the definition of that trust, one of the absolute pieces is that if they get divorced, they're not going to get the company. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, they shouldn't.
That's right.
Okay, they shouldn't get it. But there's that does away with the need for a prenup. And so I guess I'm still controlling, but I'm not over there in their daily business telling them how to pay their bills.
Well, okay, so let me, as the outsider here in the scenario.
I don't know how that's different than what I just griped about. Maybe it's the same
thing. No, it's not. No, it's very different. I'll tell you why. Because what you did was you put it in a trust, and this is the Ramsey family business. It's a family business, and it takes it off the table. What you did not do was force a signed agreement. See, this is a boundary issue. And so
I didn't do it after the engagement.
That's
if I
right.
was going to thump one of them, it would have been right. when they were sitting at coffee going, can I marry your daughter?
Right.
I'm like, no.
Right. But here's the problem with the last call. This is a 25-year-old. I believe she's 25. He's 28. I believe somewhere in that range, or maybe 23, 25. Here's the deal. They should have been super wealthy the way they are and having controlled the environment, and they've set her up and all those assets.
They should have their crap together.
They should have already let her just grow up. And the thing is she's got to learn how to figure life out on her own. And the fiance very kindly said she's pretty much just had everything dictated to her like a menu. Like, this is what your life is going to look like. And that's not reality. So I think the concern on that last call, Dave, is less about the money. I think it's more about their role in her life. Which
that's
is
what
gonna,
I'm talking about.
I know you are, but I just think it's that simple that the money thing is the smallest piece of it. They're very, very out of control with their influence.
It sounds like they are. My point is that I could do that. I mean, I'm one eyelash away from being the same exact thing. I mean, I'm not that far off, really.
That's right, because it could teeter to unhealthy quickly.
But the truth is, it's so easy to be who you is in spades when you got a few dollars. Yeah. You know, you get to be who you is. Nobody bother you on that. Yeah. And if who you is telling everybody what to do, including your grown kids, then wow. And so now I told Winston when he married Rachel, she's your problem, man. That's it. This one's got drama, man. You just better be ready. And so she's your deal, man. And don't come crying to me.
And they've
don't
done
come
it.
Crying to me.
And
Rachel, don't you come crying to me either. You talk to him. He's his problem. You're his problem.
And let me tell you that I've done it. I mean, they're good friends. We do dinner
they
outside.
They're legit. They're legit. They're standalone.
They're healthy and they're figured out. If I was this young man, I would bring it up as a we can't go forward, and then I'd bring it to a therapist and I'd say, babe, I can't do this. That's how strong of a position I would take, because she needs to decide what she's doing.
Yeah, and I guess the point is
that scary.
One of the things that always comes up when I'm coaching with wealthy people, I was with about 60 of them in a room for a day and a half the other day, and the main concern they have is, how do I keep my wealth from destroying my kids?
Mm-hmm.
I've worked so hard to get this, and now I don't want this wealth to destroy my children, to make them useless human beings, okay? And so my answer is, don't raise useless human beings. Raise human beings who know how to work, who know how to sacrifice, who know how to serve, who are humble, mm-hmm. not self-centered, they're not entitled, they're not brats. And by the way, they know how to work. Did I mention that? And they know how to work. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
And
by the way, a simple way to get all of that.
Joy and dignity comes from work. So raise kids that do that, and then be ready for this very difficult. And I'm saying it was hard. It's hard for me, almost daily or weekly. It's not. I don't get a vote in their house. And right. it pisses me off down inside.
Yeah, I can tell.
I really want to tell these people what
palpable.
To do.
I feel it right here, actually. The energy is coming over.
But I'm just saying,
this
it's
way.
A human thing. I'm not.
It's absolutely
I'm
right.
not. My point is, the other family, whoever they are, they're probably great people. I completely can resonate with their
sure.
motivation,
yeah.
their tactical implementation right. of their motivation sucks.
Which I want to weigh in on that. All the things that Dave just said to raise good kids, can I tell you, it starts with just allowing them to experience hardship and pain.
Yeah.
The data is coming out. I'm reading like crazy. I'll spare you all the data. I could nerd out on it for 20 straight minutes, but I'm telling you over and over, the message is coming back. We have removed the obstacle of hardship and suffering. We, meaning Gen X, my parents, the boomers, Gen X, we're all guilty of it. And I'm
well, we
telling
wanted to make
you,
it better for our kids.
I know, but to make it better is to make them tougher. And what you do with your kids, and I can speak to all three of them because I know them.
They need a callus.
You allowed them to experience hardship. They had to work for it. They went through stuff. And so all of a sudden, see, here's the deal. Massive money creates massive ease. And massive ease, absent of hardship, make soft, entitled people. And that's where the money can really be dangerous in this situation.
God, I feel soft and entitled right now.
No, you're not. You're the antithesis of it.
I'm completely soft and entitled.
You're like a human callus, Dave. You're tough. You're tough, man.
Create your free every dollar budget today. The simplest way to budget for your life.